Hello, everybody, and welcome to a podcast special on the coronavirus.
Our team has put together a series of clips on the outbreak of COVID-19 with the goal to empower people with relevant knowledge. We'll be speaking to professionals about the essentials that we believe you, our beloved audience, need to know.
We'll be breaking the special series into three major areas that the COVID-19 has affected: health, economy, and mental well-being. Firstly, you need to know that, like all horrible things, this scourge will pass. But it will require us to work together, keep up hope, and in the words of a good colleague of mine, don't be stupid. Let's dive right in, starting with health.
Dr. Nolutando Nematsurani is our inspiring lead for this discussion. She is a medical doctor by profession with a master's in both pharmacology and epidemiology.
At the time of recording, she is working at Discovery Health, heading the Center for Clinical Excellence that designs clinical policies for Discovery and drives the clinical strategy for the Discovery Group.
In her career, she has had a major positive impact with work around HIV and other health concerns. Basically, she knows her stuff, so listen up.
Sun Tzu said that if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you'll win 100 battles. Our enemy is this virus. So we started this discussion around what a virus is.
A virus is a microorganism, like bacteria, fungi, protozoa, and algae. They all can invade our bodies and cause disease. I know, gross.
Today we're gonna focus specifically on a group of microorganisms that can actually cause infections. And these, we call them viruses.
Viruses are ugly little things, and that's why it's a good thing that we can't see them with our naked eyes. That job is left to people that we call virologists, who study specific viruses and look at them in a lab under a microscope.
So what do we know about viruses?
What we know about viruses is that they depend on your body's immune system to multiply. So when they get into your body, they invade your cells and they incorporate their genetic material into your own cells for multiplication.
Viruses have infected humans for a long time, such as the commonly known influenza or flu virus, and the more serious human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV.
So what we know is that once they use your material, they will then multiply rapidly and cause disease. In the initial stages of a viral infection, you may not be aware that you have been infected, and during that process, the virus continues to multiply in your body, and at the peak of the viral concentration in your body, that is when you may actually start to experience symptoms.
I.e., you may not know if you're already infected and are infecting others around you. That's not your fault, but it is your responsibility to know and behave accordingly, especially during this time. We've already started winning the battle of knowledge, but now to turn to our current enemy, Corona.
So today we're going to be discussing coronaviruses. Coronaviruses are a family of viruses that have infected humans before. These viruses usually infect humans but originate from animals.
These are called zoonotic viruses. That is zoo meaning of animals and notic meaning disease. They come from animals and infect humans.
Usually humans do not have prior immunity to these viruses, and therefore they may cause disease.
There are about 7 previously identified coronaviruses that have been isolated that affect humans. These human coronaviruses are those that cause the common cold.
These viruses are named corona after their crown-shaped structure. They are not to be associated with a common cold drink that may bring about symptoms of its own after excessive consumption.
There are 2 viruses that have been implicated in causing severe disease, and this is SARS, which is the severe acute respiratory syndrome virus that was isolated in 2003 in China. The other one is the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome virus, which is the MERS virus, which was also isolated around 2012.
At this point, it is worthwhile to note that SARS doesn't only bring dread to South Africans.
These 2 viruses have actually contributed to some severe respiratory illnesses or lung disease in the past.
Because of the SARS and MERS viruses, It is important to understand what the 2019 virus is actually about and where it came from.
In 2019, December, in Wuhan City, in the Hubei province of China, several cases of pneumonia were identified.
By New Year's Day 2020, the Hunan seafood wholesale market, where several people who were infected with this new unknown virus worked, was shut down.
By the 7th of January, a new virus was implicated in causing these pneumonias, the novel coronavirus, or the 2019 nCoV.
Now we know it as SARS-CoV-2, which is a virus that causes the disease COVID-19.
It's important to note that a virus is the agent that allows for the disease to thrive. A disease is a disorder or illness that prevents a living creature from functioning normally.
COVID-19 is the disease caused by the SARS-CoV-2, a disease that is currently infecting the world, a disease we can and must fight together.
Now, the virus and the subsequent infection is thought to have originated in a bat that was sold in the food markets. Isn't that food for thought about what we eat?
By January 31st, 2020, the number of confirmed cases in China jumped to 9,809. Russia, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom confirmed their first cases of the virus.
The day before, the World Health Organization had declared the coronavirus a global emergency, and despite notable efforts in a few countries, the world was far too slow to react.
Know your enemy, Sun Tzu says, and here is what we do know.
It spreads through droplets, so if a person is infected and they cough or sneeze, those tiny droplets may infect those who are in close contact to the infected person.
Close contact is defined as being within 2 meters of the infected person or 6 feet. Now, to put that in perspective, that's more than enough room for at least a quarter of Kanye West's ego. Droplets on a surface spread the virus. These droplets, if not cleaned or sanitized, may persist for a few hours or even days, depending on the conditions around the surface.
While the virus doesn't thrive in heat, it is spread across both hot and cold temperatures. Taking a bath for reasons other than to scrub down and sanitize, using a hairdryer, or buying anti-corona toothpaste will not help. The virus is not known to be airborne. It is the droplet of a sneeze or a cough that can cause the infection.
Therefore, if you have not come into contact, direct contact with an infected person, the chances of you contracting it are almost non-existent.
The virus is known to spread through direct contact with people and infected surfaces. Because the microorganism is viral and not bacterial, antibiotics do not work directly on the virus or the disease itself.
What is tricky about this virus is that we still do not know much. We are continuing to learn more about the virus, as you will be aware that it only was isolated in January 2020.
We're all new to this fight, but we are learning quickly. There are already hundreds of resources available to you to read up on, and we encourage that you do. Find links to these in the description of this segment.
We now know our enemy as best we can, but what about ourselves? How will we know if we are to be concerned? Symptoms can be included in two groups, major symptoms and minor symptoms. The major symptoms associated with this infection are a high fever with a temperature of more than 38 degrees,
a dry cough,
a sore throat,
severe tiredness,
shortness of breath or difficulty breathing.
As for the minor symptoms,
some patients may have rare symptoms like a running nose.
It is very important to note that these symptoms can take from 2 to 14 days after exposure to start appearing. So if you're exhibiting signs, what next?
Currently, there is no approved treatment for this particular virus, which makes it even more tricky, therefore, to manage. But it is important to understand how most patients present once they have been infected with COVID-19. About 80% of people will present with mild disease, and some may even be asymptomatic, while 20% of people who are infected with SARS-CoV-2 will have severe COVID-19 disease and require hospitalization.
In that 20%, only 5% may be critical and require intensive care in a hospital setting. The odds are in your favor, especially if you are young and have a strong immune system. Our concern needs to be around those who are either elderly or have compromised respiratory or immune conditions like asthma and tuberculosis.
Supportive care will be considered and offered to patients who test positive.
In the out-of-hospital space for mild cases, we really advocate for bed rest, drinking lots of fluids, making sure that you have a diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables, and that you make sure that you do not spread the virus by making sure that you self-isolate.
The good news is that there are already cases of people who have recovered fully. This enemy is definitely beatable, but this is not the front line of our fight with COVID-19.
Our front line of the battle is where we are losing right now. Our front line is prevention, and it's a team effort.
It's often been said, prevention is better than cure, and that cannot be more applicable currently.
Whether you have the disease, don't know if you have the disease, or don't have it at all, our tactics need to be the same. Namely, wash your hands, you dirty pig. Dirty pig.
Wash your hands, you dirty pig.
With a thorough
20-second scrub with soap and running water. Where you don't have water,
use an alcohol-based disinfectant with at least 70% alcohol in it.
Regularly disinfect surface areas that might be exposed.
Be conscious of what you touch.
Especially your pretty face.
You dirty pig.
It's also important that we minimize or actually avoid touching our faces because we may have come into contact with contaminated surfaces. And when we touch our faces, we may be transmitting the virus through our nasal or the nose, the mouth, and also the mucosal surfaces of our eyes. For people who are not sick, it is advised that you stay away from people who are already presenting with symptoms. It is also important to make sure that you wash your hands before you handle food. When dealing with food, it is important to ensure that food is properly cooked, specifically when we look at meat products, that if eaten raw may actually be responsible for spreading disease.
And most importantly, for the next 2 weeks, avoid going out unnecessarily. Keep your immune system up with fruit and vitamin C. We need to be alone together for the next 2 weeks.
And this is the power of knowledge. It enables us to be the heroes to the next person, to make sure they don't get it, that your grandparents and kids and friends and family stay safe.
When you cough or sneeze, please use a tissue to make sure that you don't spread the droplets. And once you are done with the tissue, please ensure that you don't leave your tissues lying around. Dispose of them safely so that you protect those who may be in the same vicinity as yourself.
This fight is not for ourselves. It's to protect those around us, especially the vulnerable.
So if there is no current cure, how do we treat the COVID-19 disease?
Because COVID-19 is a viral infection, antibiotics will not be effective against this COVID-19 disease. But if you have secondary bacterial infections, you may be prescribed an antibiotic and administered an antibiotic by your treating provider. Patients admitted in hospital, doctors will manage them according to their presenting symptoms, which is mainly pneumonia. And for those with underlying conditions, they may have other systems in their bodies involved as well. So currently there is no vaccine against that can be used to prevent SARS-CoV-2. There is a lot of research underway to ensure that we do finally get a vaccine that can be used, hopefully in the next 12 to 18 months. Using a fast-track process, we may be able to see the first commercial vaccine being available.
I know what you're thinking, that this is at least a year away, but that is for a very good reason.
It's important to understand that vaccine development takes time, and there is a requirement for the vaccine to be tested in a lab space, further tested in animals before it can be tested in humans.
In the meantime, we can now medically test for the virus. And while these tests used to take days to process, these times are now seeing quicker results. But it is critical to know that not everyone can be tested.
Testing for COVID-19 is guided by a specific case definition that has been developed by the World Health Organization and locally by the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. This case definition, therefore, prioritizes those who are most likely to have contracted COVID-19. And these people would be those who are already symptomatic with some form of acute respiratory symptoms and a fever of more than 38 degrees.
You are high risk and potentially eligible for testing if you have come into direct contact with a confirmed case of the virus, if you have traveled overseas to an area of widespread community transmission, or if you are working as a healthcare professional who may have come into contact with a symptomatic patient.
Testing is currently done by the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, a division of the National Health Laboratory Services, at no cost to the public.
Private testing is also available, though it is advised that you call your doctor for a telephonic consultation before requesting a test to protect the doctor, the patients in the waiting room, and in some cases, yourself as well.
Upon discussion with the doctor, you will be guided around the testing process and the doctor will arrange for you to be tested.
Testing is done with samples collected from the back of the patient's nose,
nasopharyngeal,
or samples collected from the back of the patient's mouth,
oropharyngeal.
The sputum from coughs is also tested where appropriate. Early testing will be offered for those who do not meet the criteria. This is one exam you shouldn't mind not qualifying for or passing, for that matter.
If you are tested and the results are negative, that does not mean it's party time. It's self-isolating time.
So, what's the deal with the masks?
We know that there is no real recommendation for the general public to use face masks. But for those people who are already symptomatic, you may use a surgical mask or any other form of masks, some of the masks that we refer to as respirators, to actually protect those around you from your droplets if you happen to be sneezing or coughing.
I quote Bain.
Nobody cared who I was until I put on the mask.
And yeah, that's exactly the effect we're going for here. Only dispose of them appropriately and don't touch the front of your mask because you may be contaminating your hands. If you don't do this,
it will be extremely painful.
Masks are reserved also for those who are taking care of people who are already infected, like health professionals or some people who may be nursing their sick family members in the home environment.
These are all the tools you need to know the enemy as best we can right now. As for knowing yourself, the decision to be responsible and safe sits with you. It's okay to feel scared and uncertain, but we have to be wise.
At the time of this recording, it is now March 23rd. The statistics are as follows. 335,403 coronavirus cases.
14,611 deaths.
And a very important statistic.
97,636 recoveries. But the curve is now higher than ever and is rapidly increasing. Now is the time to act.
Now is the time to listen and not be stiff-necked.
Self-isolate.
Stay clean.
Stay home.
Stay safe.
We'll get through this.
Next, we ask Dr. Nematsorani some questions.
How do we handle social stigma?
We are all at risk of contracting this COVID-19 disease, but I think it's important for us to empower ourselves with knowledge so that we can reduce the stigma and we can support our fellow compatriots in, firstly, by protecting them and preventing the spread of the disease, and also looking after ourselves to make sure that we protect ourselves and our families from contracting the disease.
How should South Africans react to this and their health as a country with the highest rates in Africa so far? Should we panic? What are the solutions?
It is important as South African citizens to all act responsibly in preventing the spread of this disease. In these early stages, containment is key. This means that if you are infected or you know someone who is infected, we need to make sure that we exercise social distancing. And for those who are infected, make sure that they are quarantined. Should we not act responsibly in these early stages, there is a likely chance that we will be in a situation where we've got community spread, where a significant number of a significant percentage of our population will be exposed and may have devastating effects on our healthcare system. Prevention of spread will minimize the requirement for hospitalization. It will also minimize the requirement for use of our healthcare services that are already overburdened because of our other conditions that we are dealing with. As a country, we are facing a quadruple disease burden, which includes that of HIV, TB. We know of non-communicable diseases. We are aware of our high trauma rate in South Africa, and therefore we cannot afford any other form of increase in cases at present.
Can someone recover from COVID-19?
So early reports have shown full recovery for a significant amount of patients. Over 70% have fully recovered. What we do not know, though, is for those patients who have severe disease, whether there is a permanent lung damage. So it is still too soon to tell. We have seen some early reports showing, reduction in lung capacity, but we cannot decisively say that there will be a permanent lung damage. The other important thing that we need to consider is whether a person who has previously then been infected with COVID-19 and recovered can be reinfected again with this virus. Early reports did indicate that there were some cases in Japan where they had recovered and were tested again and they tested positive. Even though reinfection cannot be completely ruled out, right now there are some theories around how maybe those particular patients could have tested positive again. These include potentially false positive results or reactivation of the same primary infection that they had. So for now, we can't definitely say you cannot be reinfected, which is why if you have recovered from COVID-19, we still encourage you to take precautions to prevent potential reinfection in those instances.
Do you have a message for South Africa right now?
I think this is not the time to panic, but it is a time to work together to prevent the spread. The country is taking drastic steps to ensure that we keep this infection before it becomes wildly spread in our communities. So maybe a final comment is, I think this is the time for us to spread the right messages, to empower our communities with knowledge, to protect ourselves, and to ensure that we stop the stigma. Remember that if we perpetuate the stigma, people who are infected may not come forward to test. This may have devastating effects as people will then continue to spread the infection quietly because they are not being tested.
Please note that the talk in this insert was recorded on the 17th of March and the episode was edited on the 23rd. All statistics since then have been subject to change and we encourage you to stay up to date.
Would like to offer a huge thanks to Dr. Nolutando Nematswarani and Discovery for facilitating this talk. Discovery has a comprehensive free-to-access resource kit available on their website at www.discovery.co.za with every possible resource you need to know, including real-time updates, information kits, and other helpful resources.
Find a list of our other trusted resources, including the ones we used, below. Next up, the economy, the COVID-19 infection depression,
the economic plague.
This special episode was edited and recorded at the New Reality Studios in Ramberg.
With additional thanks to Kibare Njuguna and especially Dr. Ryan Noach for giving us the opportunity.
Produced by Kingdom Come, we seek to entertain, inform, and inspire. My name is Cameron Scott.
And I'm Kagiso Rabada.
Thank you for listening.